Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I am your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 2, Veeam Dementals Shootout. Here we go. Today, our guest is Eric Zondbor. Eric, how you doing?
I'm fine, thanks.
Thanks for coming on the show, man. I appreciate it. We saw some of your blog posts on VMDementals.com and definitely caught the interest of a lot of people in the virtualization community. You had a great number of blog posts that were very thorough comparing Veeam Backup and Replication with PHD Virtual's backup product. So tell us about why you went on that long comparative, you know, blog post. Why'd you do that?
Well, basically, there are a lot of blog sites out there that always post, you know, like the newest thing and the latest releases, but that's not what VMDementals.com is about. I basically do just technical deep dives. And the more technical, the better. So it may be not so easy to read all the time, but basically, whenever I find something that might be of interest, I just deep dive into it and I write a blog post about it.
Oh, that's awesome, dude, because I was reading through it, and it's incredibly detailed. I mean, I'm learning things about Veeam that was kind of like, oh, you know, I could probably write a blog post myself about that. In fact, one thing that caught my eye was, you know, you were very fair. That was really cool because you were very fair about, you know, this product does it good this way, this product does it good that way. But then both of them, I don't like this and I don't like that. So that was kind of very balanced in that sense. So I even picked up some notes on some action items for me in terms of blog posts to really just make sure that, you know, the virtualization community, you know, if they're going to use the Veeam solution that they have, you know, that they're equipped to, you know, avoid some of those gotcha points that you've identified.
Yeah, sure. But, well, maybe that's because I've always been a fan of PHD Virtual. In the old days, their technology was really great. But now, lately, with the ESXi support and other things and all those Veeam guys pushing me for, take a look at our product because it's great. So, well, I did. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that both products look at the same problem from a very different perspective. And that's why you get different solutions. And each has some nice things and some, well, maybe less nice things.
Sure.
But in the end, they all do the job, but in a different way. So I leave it kind of up to the reader to decide what they really need, what they require.
Yeah, and I noticed that because you definitely didn't make like a blanket recommendation, but I think again you were very fair and said this product does this well and that product does that well. So that was pretty cool. Now you say the Veeam guys are always pushing you. Yes, I'll agree that we are very boisterous in the community, and then you know, and then within the Netherlands, you're based in the Netherlands. There's a lot of yes, virtualization community and a lot of, you know, Veeam customers there. So I think that, you know, it's kind of a, you know, you can't avoid Veeam. Is that a good way of putting it?
Yeah, I think that's a very good way of putting it. And there's something else, because my ex-boss actually works for Veeam now. So,
oh, is that,
he keeps bugging me.
Is that Hank?
Yes, it is.
Okay, yeah, Hank Arts. He works there with Veeam, and he's based in the Netherlands as well. So, cool.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this: did you do this literally on your own? No, so nobody sponsored you with, you know, these types of comparatives, because a lot of, you know, private bloggers can get sponsorship for doing things like this.
No, I don't get any sponsorship anywhere. I don't like to. Oh, you got to edit this one.
Okay.
Basically, no. There's no any. How am I gonna say? This is going to take a while.
Okay, no problem. Or you can just say, you know, you can just give a short no. I did it on my own type of answer. Whatever you want.
It's okay.
Okay.
Basically, I don't want any advertisements on the web or anything. So it's just my blog. It's just the things I like. It's just a technical shootout or a technical deep dive. And basically, well, that's also one of my hobbies. So there you go.
Right on. Well, that's great. I love the deep dives, and you know, every category of technology has a few of them. In fact, I'll also point out, you know, like Duncan with the HA deep dive and stuff like that on
right.
his website. And then if you're a storage guy, you probably have ended up at one point at Nigel Poulton's blog. He has a lot of good technical deep dives on storage products. And mm-hmm. and the level of those deep dives, when you really, you know, put all this content together, you know, for the readers out there that haven't been to some of these in-depth posts, they're definitely top-notch stuff. In, you know, in the case of Eric's stuff, it's really great because it's in a comparative light. So, yeah, that's cool, man. And the best part is that, you know, it wasn't really a sponsored activity. It's, you know, that's what you wanted to go through, and that was the experience you shared. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I've been thinking a long time because should I include like a Quest or what was previously called Vision Core, or maybe a VMware's own backup product, but it gets very complex very fast.
Absolutely, and it's also very difficult to compare.
Sure,
you know, it's tough to compare apples to apples when the products are different, and then if you compare multiple products at once, then you know, it's almost like you'll never get done.
Right. Even for the shootout between two products, I needed three parts. Well, I've written two so far. The third part is going to be about disaster recovery and replication features.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the second part, which we just came out, I think that was the most important one for most people.
And why is that?
Because most people, well, basically, it's all about backing up and restoring. And that's the primary use of the products, I think. But on the other hand, you can very well use them for simple disaster recovery.
Sure.
And that's what people sometimes forget. Because when you say disaster recovery, people think like dark fiber connections and SAN replication. But that's not always necessary at all.
Absolutely. In fact, many organizations, cost-wise, that's just out of the question.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So if you can't afford it, but like a 24-hour or maybe a 12-hour window is small enough for you for your disaster recovery, for your recovery times, then it's no problem to use a product like Veeam or PhD Virtual or some of the other products that are out there.
Sure, sure. You know, you have – so I think I counted four – you know, basic blog posts, deep dives that you had out there. Do you have more that are yet to be released?
You mean basic, specifically on backup products?
Well, yeah, this shootout had a series of blog posts, and I'll make sure that I put them in the notes for this podcast episode, but I guess I was just wondering if there were more coming, because you have so much material out there. It's great. I would love to see more, but I didn't know if you were done with your project or what.
Basically, I'm working on part three now,
okay.
As I said, replication and disaster recovery. Maybe I'll add in a part four, but I'm not sure, and that would be about any of the extra features which are in there.
Ah, okay.
Like the virtual lab you guys have, which is pretty great, but has little to do with backup and restore, basically.
Yeah, that's true. The virtual lab and some of the other features, you're almost taking those feature sets away from, you know, your traditional backup product, and it's like it's kind of hard to compare if there's not a category for it, you know, with other products, for sure.
Right.
So, hey, Eric, so tell me about you. You're based in the Netherlands, so what do you do? I know you have a big change coming up, so tell me a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I'll start up in the past. I've been doing lots of different things. I started out as an embedded hardware and software engineer. Started out at Siemens at one time in life. And one of the greatest things I think I did in back in those days was an assignment for ASML, which built lithographic scanners.
Oh, cool.
And I did a redesign for the level sensor component.
Oh, deep. So the deep dive stuff starts there. You had to really
start right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I've been doing a lot of software and also hardware. Then I made a change more to system administration, and from there I I kind of rolled into VMware.
Cool, cool. And what kind of virtualization technologies do you work with right now?
Right now, it's solely VMware.
Sure, sure.
And basically, all things around. Because, well, a lot of people thought that hypervisors were pretty cool and that basically that would be the end of virtualization. But actually, I think it's just the beginning. Mm. The hypervisor is just a simple tool. And once we have this tool, there's so much more to start.
That's,
and you see that by the latest product like Vi, the vStorage API for Array integration, mm-hmm. and a product like Veeam, all these smart things being pushed to the market, and that's really it's a nice adventure to be on.
Absolutely, I'll agree with you 100%. In fact, you brought up a good point with VAAI, which I hate that acronym, by the way. It's just too clumsy, but anyways, you know, one of the things that, you know, we're not quite from a market adoption standpoint, you know, I'd have to say that the actual percentage of people that have VAAI supported storage with vSphere 4.1, you know, the whole stack ready to go, that percentage is pretty small, but once that increases, this is going to be some good stuff because snapshot performance can be improved with VAAI supported hardware, and
sure.
That's going to be a big deal because you know, Veeam is one product, but a lot of products, especially in data protection, they all use snapshots, and if the snapshot performance can be increased basically through the hardware assisted locking, then
exactly.
We've got some really good stuff coming down the way, because really this will be, again, removing a barrier so that we can go more virtual. And you're so correct that the hypervisor was simply the gateway technology for us to do that. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I think storage used to be boring stuff because, well, yeah, you had this SAN and it was sharing some LANs in your data center. But with the coming of virtualization, storage became very cool again, I think.
Absolutely. My little motto was, always buy the most expensive storage you can afford, because you know, you want to always put that as your, you know, most kind of performing resource, because no offense, but HP, Dell, IBM, whatever the server, it doesn't really matter, you know. It's
sure.
It's the storage, you know, and the storage protocol and the you know, the disk technology that you have in the end and how it's laid out. Those types of things are probably more important. You know, you, of course, you want to have enough CPU, enough memory, enough you know, network I/O, enough storage I/O on the host. But you know, I've always thought that storage was now the most critical design element of the data center, for sure.
Exactly. I've done a lot of measurements on a Sun Unified Storage Box, the 7000 series.
Mm-hmm.
At a data center in Scotland, we performed some performance tests on Vue combined with that system, and that's basically a ZFS file system with NFS on top.
Okay.
And it performed amazingly. It was just incredible. With around 20 to 30 SATA disks, we managed to get over 1,300 Vue desktops running.
Whoa.
That's definitely amazing, and that's all because of the way they separate read and write cache, and they extend their read cache memory with flash, and they have optimized write caching. It's a very smart way of working. And those are the things that really make the difference. That, like you said, a server is just a server, but storage can be specifically interesting for certain solutions when they use certain systems inside, basically.
Absolutely. In fact, I'll even point up a blog post. One of your Veeam backup part 3 was fiddling with your target storage. So, you know, you've got some tips in there for Veeam customers to maybe make sure that, you know, I think it's iSCSI in this case, right?
Yeah, well, that was very interesting because I tried NFS native iSCSI and iSCSI through vSphere. I tried NFS through vSphere, and I tried SIFS directly.
Mm-hmm.
And the fun thing was that the home lab that I use has pretty weak CPU. So CPU power constantly was a problem. So once you get better performance, you start to saturate your CPU, so performance drops. So it's very interesting to see how it's not just the smartest solution, but also, in my case, the CPU limitations that apply.
Sure. Yeah, I have in my home lab, I have a HP ProLiant server and a Drobo Pro iSCSI SAN, which, you know, if I do some heavy lifting, I feel it, okay? But I don't have access to, you know, a Sun Unified Storage System, which would be nice, but it's just really tough because, you know, most environments that have the real gear, you know, it's not really an environment we can use as a lab, unfortunately, so... It's but I think you actually bring up a good point that when you do kind of identify CPU as the bottleneck, in the case of a underpowered lab like, you know, what I have at home or whatever, you can actually, when you compare those different storage protocols, I think you can actually determine which one performs better because the other bottleneck has been identified with CPU or maybe network throughput or something like that.
Right, right. Once I enabled Jumbo Frames, things got really, really better. And I think that's... just because, well, mainly because the CPU has less overhead because there are less packets to handle.
Yeah, I'm looking at your graph right. You had the IX200, is that right?
Yeah, that's an IX200. Yeah.
In two or three of the different test categories, it was nearly a 15-20% performance increase with Jumbo Frames. So that's awesome.
Right. Exactly. So I'm not saying you should always enable Jumbo Frames just to get that 20% extra, but it might help in your case. It's very case specific. You have to try it out, basically.
Absolutely, and you know you have to try it out. That's the end all be all because it's hard to make blanket recommendations because all virtual machines are not created equal. All infrastructures are not created equal. So everything kind of takes the we'll just call it, you know, virtualization tofu, right? It takes the flavor of what it's cooked in, okay?
So, yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So once you put a product in the data center, it's going to, you know, reflect the other technologies around it. So we definitely agree with you that you need to, you know, give it a try. And I got to send a cheap plug, a cheap shout out here to Veeam. We have this product or this program for NFR licenses for VMware certified instructors, vExperts, and VCPs. You can get.
That's what I'm running on.
There you go. You get the two free sockets of NFR Veeam backup and replication. So we definitely encourage you guys to check it out, and you've already been there, so that's great.
Yeah.
So Eric, I've got kind of a gimmick here for the podcast, and we're still in stealth mode, meaning we haven't gone public with it yet. So. You kind of have been primed for it, but I have three questions for you. So I want to kind of get your view, just you as a technologist, what has interested you now in the past and also in the future? So Eric, as a technologist, what's the most interesting technical role or story or experience that you have done at this point, at some point prior in your career?
Well, basically, we've already been through that. I think that was ASML.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very interesting company when you look at technology because they have everything. They have a lot of software. They have mechanics. They have complex optical systems. So it's very nice to be part of a team like that.
Cool. And how about today? What are you working on right now today in technology that you're most interested in or find the most passion to get things done? What's your favorite thing right now?
Right. Well, I think that used to be just VMware, but as storage got more and more interesting, basically I started looking at storage more and more. So I've done a series on RAID levels and how to optimize throughput on that level. So what I think is that the merger between storage and virtualization, as these boundaries disappear, it will eventually become like an inseparable entity.
Sure, absolutely.
So that's the interesting thing I see happening right now.
Okay, cool. And what do you see in the future? I mean, what kind of gets you excited to what's coming down the road technology-wise?
With storage and VMware merging more and more, I decided to that it was time for me to start looking into that direction as a professional. So as of February, I'll be joining EMC as a vSphere specialist. And actually, I'll be the first vSphere specialist in Holland.
Oh, cool. Congratulations.
Thanks. I'm very proud of it. As I said, I'm starting in a few days.
Cool.
And I can't wait what the future has in stock.
Oh, that's great. I think it's going to be a wild ride for you.
Yeah, definitely.
That's
the
great.
Things I see, those guys are crazy.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm not going to disagree. All right. Did you watch the launch event for Broken Records?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. Did you see the videos and did you see Chatsworld?
Yeah, that was
you understand what I mean.
Yeah, it's entertaining for sure. Okay, well, Eric, hey man, we're wrapping it up here. Let's take a quick moment. So everybody, if you want to follow Eric on Twitter, he is at Eric Zandberg. That's ERIKZANDBOER. And
right.
He has his blog at vmdementals.com, and I'll have both of these in the podcast notes, so you can have direct links here. And Eric is also known to be a photographer at xhd.nl. Eric, hey, thanks for being on the podcast.
Okay, you're welcome.